Go ahead tonight. The gospel message is such a wonderful message. Let's sing number 10 in our hymn sheets. There is a Savior on high in the glory. A Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree. A Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. Oh, come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Receive Him this moment, and peace shall be thine. There is a Savior. Like to turn to Luke chapter 15. This whole chapter is one parable in three parts. Let's read it. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 and 9 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf because He hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is mine. But it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Well, this chapter talks about heaven and its joy. We're going to touch, Lord willing, in the next chapter that talks about hell and its sorrow. So just keep those two things in mind. Chapter 15, heaven and its joy. Hell and its sorrow. Tremendously incredible things to think about. But here in this chapter we have three parts, as I mentioned before. The first part, a man had 100 sheep. He lost one. Second part, a woman who had 10 pieces of silver, and he lost one. Third part, a man who had 2 sons, and one was lost. You know what? If I have $100 in my pocket, and I lose $1, I'm not going to be too worried about it. That's not that much. But God is not that way. If there's just one person in this room that is lost, God is not happy. God wants you to come to repentance. He is waiting for you. And in this case, it was the shepherd that went out. And how long did he search for that sheep? It says, until he find it at the end of verse 4. He finally found it. How far did he have to go to find it? This is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came into the world to save sinners. And what did he have to do to save sinners? He had to go to Calvary's cross. That awful cross where they nailed him to that cross with nails through his hands and his feet. His head was crowned with thorns. His face was so marred more than any man's. And there he hung for 3 hours, and men passed in front of him and mocked him and scorned him. They said, if he is the Son of God, let God deliver him. The Lord Jesus says prophetically, reproach has broken my heart. Why did it break his heart? Did God deliver him from that cross? No. Why not? Because there was no other way for you and I to be saved than for him to die in our place. Oh, the tremendous suffering the Lord Jesus went through. You remember he was crucified about 9 o'clock in the morning, and he died at 3 p.m. For 6 hours he was hanging there on that cross. The first 3 hours he was the object of men's ridicule and mockery. But at 12 noon, everything got dark. Nobody could see what was taking place on that cross. God had to be satisfied. His justice had to be vindicated. And in those 3 hours, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And God emptied his wrath on his own beloved Son. I have two sons in my family. To give up one son, I don't know how I could ever do that. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So there he was hanging on that cross, suffering the just penalty for our sins. And at the end of those 3 hours, he cries out in his agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake his son? Because he did not want to forsake you in the lake of fire forever. And that's why God forsook his son. But then a little later he cries out, it is finished! The price of our redemption was paid in full by the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. That's how far this shepherd went to save our souls. He went until he found it. He went until the price was paid in full. And when he found it, what does he do? He lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Oh, the joy that God has when a sinner comes to repentance. You know, in the book of Isaiah, it tells that the Lord Jesus, the government of this world is given on his shoulder, singular. But when it is a sheep that he has found, he puts it on both his shoulders. He says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them an eternal life and they shall never, never perish. Oh, the security of the person that returns to the Lord Jesus in simple repentance and faith on his shoulders. They will never, never perish. So that's the first part. The second part is the woman that has 10 pieces of silver. And she is in a house. This is a picture of the great house of religious profession. Is someone lost in that house? Yes, there was a piece of silver that was lost in that house. There was 10 pieces of silver. It speaks of man's responsibility. God gave the law 10 commandments. But one of those pieces of silver was lost. And what does she do? She lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, and seeks diligently until she finds that lost piece. Where is the lost one in this room tonight? Is there some of these boys and girls that are still lost? Or perhaps somebody out there in further back that still hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus in truth? It scares me sometimes when I see people. I must say, years ago there were 3 young men that I know personally that were breaking bread at the Lord's table. Today they say they're atheists. They don't even believe there is a God. How in the world can that happen? But it's true. And that's why I look out there today and I say, where are you? I can't see your heart. But God is looking at you and he can see right straight through you. He knows if you're faking it. You know, the Lord had 12 disciples. You know, those 12, one was a fake. The rest of the disciples, the other 11 disciples, did not catch it. When the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me, they had no clue who he was talking about. It was Judas Iscariot. one who worked miracles, who preached the word, who went out in commission from the Lord. He was not real. And when the time came, he showed that he was more interested in money than he was in the Lord Jesus. And he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And then he betrayed him. He came up to Jesus and kissed him. And showed him that way, or showed to the Pharisees and scribes that had come to take him who it was that was the one that they wanted to arrest and crucify. Oh, how terrible. Is it possible that you are lost in the house? Yes, it's fully possible. It's the house of profession, and it doesn't mean just because you profess to know Jesus as your Savior that you really are. Oh, how important it is to get it straight. And I say to you, whoever you are, wherever you're sitting in this room, I don't know, but be real with God. You can fool me, and lots of people have. You can't fool God. And he's looking right straight through you, and he knows if you're real. So be real with God. So that's the case of the woman. And she found that one piece, and she says to her neighbors and friends, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." And then notice it says in verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. It's the joy is in the presence of the angels of God. The joy is God's joy. And if you will come to repentance, somebody explained repentance today as a change of thinking. Pent in the Latin, by which a lot of English is derived, is to think. Repent means to rethink. Change your thinking about God and come back. Repentance is necessary for salvation. Let me be clear. Repentance in itself does not save. What saves is faith in Christ. But the Lord Jesus said very clearly, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So repentance is necessary for salvation. Repentance toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's so important. Now we have the part of the prodigal son, the man who had two sons, and the younger of them says, "Give me." Later on he says, "Make me." But people today have this tendency to say, "Give me." And the father was very generous and gave him. And so he gathered all together and went into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. It's so sad to see sometimes young people go away from God, waste their lives with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there was a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You go out into the world today, you see people that are not happy, that are not satisfied. They can't find anything to satisfy them. And so here he is, sitting with the swine, the pigs, and no man gave unto him. He would have even liked to eat the pig food. And there's a lot of people that go to the movie theater to eat pig food. And I sometimes have watched as people come out of the theater. Do you see people that look really happy? Not that happy, no. But they are not satisfied. Nothing satisfied except repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he is sitting with the pigs. But I want you to notice there's a change in thinking. There's repentance. Notice verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" All up to this time, he's thinking of getting away from his father as far as he can and living his life as he wants to. Now there's a change. He's thinking of going back, and he says, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." There's been a real change. Instead of giving me, he's saying, "Make me." There's a change. That's repentance. But he's still sitting there with the pigs. And so it says in verse 20, he arose. That's conversion, a change of direction, and came to his father. He's going back now to his father. But this is the wonderful part of it. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. This is God the Father looking for the return of his prodigal son. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's so beautiful. God is waiting for you to come back to him. So God in Trinity in this chapter is working for your salvation. First we have the man with 100 sheep, a picture of the Lord Jesus. And we have the woman with 10 pieces of silver, the picture of the Holy Spirit who is striving with souls. And now we have the Father waiting for the prodigal son to come home. And now look at verse 21. The son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned." It's important to recognize and confess your sin. "Against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son." He left out something that he thought he would ask his father in verse 19. "Make me as one of thy hired servants." He didn't even say that. There wasn't any time to say that. The father was on his neck, kissing him, receiving him back. You know what? God is not interested in having more hired servants. What he's interested in is having sons return to him that can sit down at his table to enjoy fellowship with him. That's what he's interested in. That's what he wants for you and me, every one of us. Yeah, but notice how the father intervenes. Verse 22. "Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Four things. First of all, the best robe. That young man probably stunk. You know, in Lawrenceville, they have quite a few places where they raise pigs. I've been in those places once in a while, and I go home. My wife knows exactly where I've been because of the awful smell. And you can imagine the awful smell of this prodigal son. And I'm sure he was washed before he put on the best robe. What's the best robe? It's Christ, to be accepted in the Beloved. That's the best robe. And then it says, put a ring on his hand. What's a ring for? Over 50 years ago, I asked my wife to marry me. And I put a ring on her finger. And that ring means she's married to somebody. And she has always worn that ring to show people that she belongs to me. It's a wonderful privilege to know that we can show people that we belong to the Lord Jesus. And shoes on his feet. I've had people say to me, you know why I don't become a Christian? I'm afraid I could not live the Christian life. It's just too hard. You know what? I have never been able myself to live the Christian life. But the Lord has put shoes on my feet. He gives you the power to walk as a Christian when you come back to him. And then he says, bring forth the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For there to be the feast of being merry, there had to be death. And so we know the Lord Jesus died to make it all possible. So he died, and now we can be merry. And it says in verse 24, they began to be merry. Notice in verse 14, 10 verses earlier, he began to be in want. And here they began to be merry. If you are away from God, you are in want. And you will be that way always until you come back to God through the Lord Jesus. But once you come back, then the feast begins of joy that will never, ever end. How beautiful this is. His elder son came from the field, and he was not happy. You know, people like to think that they have something to do with it, but that is not the case. And this older son turned out to be the prodigal in the end. Their first son came back, and the second son would not go in. He transgressed his father's commandment, and he would not go in. Now I'd like to go to chapter 16 before we get to the end of our time and read the end of the chapter where we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Verse 19 of chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, Therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send to him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. He said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What a terrible story this is of the rich man. He had everything in life that he could desire. And there was that poor beggar. And he was waiting for a few crumbs from the rich man's table. But evidently he knew the Lord as his Savior. And this rich man only lived for the present. And so the time came when they both died. And the rich man was no longer a rich man. He was poor in the fullest sense of the word. He woke up in hell, tormented by the flames. And he could speak to Abraham. I'm not sure how this is possible, but this is what the scripture tells us. You know, this is not a parable. Just want to call attention to the fact in verse 19. Notice when the Lord Jesus is speaking this, he doesn't say it's a parable. There was a certain rich man. Verse 20, there was a certain beggar. So it's not a parable. There was these two men. And this rich man woke up in hell and he sees Abraham in the distance and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cries out. And he wants Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers to tell them. And Abraham says, no, they're not going to even repent. If someone rose from the dead, they won't repent. So there is that rich man until this time. I don't think people realize how awful hell is. You know, I used to travel, hike through the Andes, preaching the gospel in the towns of the Andes Mountains. And I remember being in a particular town one night where they didn't have electricity, and so on the table in the middle of the room, they had some candles so that we could read the scripture and preach the gospel. And so I was trying to get across to them the awfulness of not making peace with God. And so I said, I don't know, would there be someone here that would offer to come up to the front here, to the table where I am, and put his finger into the flame of that candle just for one moment. I have a watch on my arm. I'm not going to let it go over for 1 minute. I said 1 minute. It wasn't 1 moment, but 1 minute. To my surprise, I got a volunteer. I said, okay, come on up front here. And he came up front, and I said, okay, now when I tell you to put your finger in there, I want you to put it in there, and don't take it out until I tell you after a minute's gone by. I said, okay. I said, put your finger in there. Pop! I said, hey, you didn't even last 1 second. Come on, I said 1 minute. But it hurt. I said, yeah, it sure did hurt. But when we're talking about hell, it's not only your finger in the fire. It's your whole body bathed in the flames for all eternity without any hope of ever getting out. Think about it. It's serious. You've got to face the issues. If you're not saved tonight, I want to plead with you to think through this issue. If you have some questions, we're here to help you, to answer your questions, but please be serious with God. God wants to save you tonight. Don't let it go.